back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going all right. Mixed feelings after a
we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about it.
That game that happened on Sunday.
0-3 in championships as a city for this season.
We're still reeling from that. But in life we do move on, and I have a 4-day weekend, humble brag, because of
same here.
There you go. So we both have 4-day weekends coming up, which means obviously a short work week this week, a nice long weekend, and a short work week next week. So we have that to look forward to. And then on the hockey side of things, meh. The Flyers, I mean, I think we have 3 games to go over tonight. The Edmonton game from Thursday, the Nashville game from Saturday, and then the Seattle Kraken game from Sunday afternoon. Two games where, I mean, you kind of just flush them away, and one game, which was actually good. I was in the building for the Edmonton game on Thursday night with my lovely girlfriend, and we got to see a shootout win. I mean, I should have played the lottery that night.
Did you do the 50-50? Because you might have won.
No, I didn't, but it was nice. It was 2010s throwback night, so got a nice print. Dave, I was not able to get you an extra one. I'm sorry, sir.
It's fine. But, you tried. It's all that matters.
I gave it my best shot. But, yeah, I mean, I have one gripe, though. Actually, I did see friends of the podcast, Josh and Brian Barber, at the game.
Yes, I knew they were there. I forgot. I was going to text you, be like, oh, Josh is at the game, too.
Yeah, I saw his snap. I think he Snapchatted me. And then he asked me what section I was in, and we were only like 3 sections away from each other, so we met up between periods, which was cool. So shout out to the Barbers, my dudes. But yeah, it was a great game. Being there was awesome. I mean, it was fun. It's only the 3rd game I've been to this season. Yeah.
I've only been to 2.
Yeah, but let's see. The one thing I will say before the game is that I'm a little disappointed. Because it was a throwback Thursday. The Flyers didn't wear their reverse retros, which is weird.
They did wear the black alternates, and you got to see Carter Hart rock his Ray Emery tribute pads.
Yeah, I mean, I love those black jerseys. They're very nice. So I wasn't, like, too banana shaped, but they didn't wear the reverse retro in the Cooperalls. But I was kind of expecting it, because obviously, like, the throwback Thursdays, when they do that type of stuff this season, I guess I must have missed it on the calendar. But anyway, the one thing I was saying is that it is cool that the Flyers are doing these, like, the print giveaways, and they do, like, honestly, they don't do, excuse my language, but they don't do shit when it comes to making the arena feel, like, authentic, like it was for the time period that they're profiling. Really, the main thing is the print, and then they do highlights of stuff on the Jumbotron. But even on the Jumbotron, I will say, as much as it is nice to go down memory lane with pretty much, they go through all of the years of the Flyers as opposed to just that decade that they're highlighting that night. So I think in a perfect world, what I would like, and again, I'm one fan and they're probably not going to listen to this, but anyway, the Flyers.
But you never know.
Yeah. If you're listening and you do throwback nights again, or even I think there might be one or two more.
I think there's just one. It's an all Flyers era throwback.
Yeah, I think it's sometime next month against the Wild, if I'm not mistaken. But I think it would just be cool because, like, 2010s was not really that good of a decade for the Flyers anyway. No. 2010 was a good year. I mean, that was obviously the comeback against the Bruins. The Flyers make it to the Stanley Cup. They were in they had the Winter Classic in Boston, and they had it at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, I feel like from 2010 to like 2013, it was like 2010, you know, we lose the Hawks.
Yeah.
2010, 2011, they literally are the President's Trophy team all year until the last week of the season where they lose the President's Trophy. So that was a year where they were just kicking everyone's ass. That was the year of Dry Island and where they kind of fell apart in the second round against Boston. And then that led into the Carter and Richards trade that offseason, which then leads you into the next year of, well, you have to be mid with Briz. Yes. But then you also bring in Wayne Simmonds and Voracek and Braden Shen, and you have that era where that one year was really, really fun. And then the next year they fire Lavie and Andrew McDonald comes around, and then Dave Hextall, Ron Hextall, and it just
goes downhill from there.
Way downhill.
Yeah, I have a picture of the print here on my phone that I took. But looking at it is cool. The top part of it is the picture. It's frames from the Winter Classic at Citizens Bank Park with Braden Shen scoring on Hank Lundqvist. And then we have
first career NHL goal.
Yeah, we have Wayne Simmonds in the stadium series at the Link. That was 2019, so 2010s.
We were boots on the ground.
Yeah,
great. In my wheelchair. That was many times documented on this podcast. One of the best games we've ever been to.
Yeah. But then other than that, I mean, it's an interesting mix of players. Like, we have James Van Riemsdyk, we have Scott Hartnell. Shane Gostisbehere made his way onto that print.
I mean, for how electric he was when he got called up that one year where he almost won the Calder Trophy and his play literally got the Flyers into the playoffs, besides, you know, Steve Mason being a brick wall in net like he was for a good chunk of the time with us.
Yeah. And then Kimmo Tiiminen. I mean, obviously that's a no-brainer. We have Claude Giroux, Sean Couturier, Chris Pronger, and Jake Voracek. And then centering it is obviously this is all our like artist rendition, but Simone Gagné, the GOAT, as I call him, celebrating his goal against the Bruins in the 2010-03 playoff comeback. So, I mean, a good print, but it's also just, again, like looking at some of these players, it's like, huh, like it was an interesting decade for the Flyers, to say the least.
It was, because there were some years where you thought they were going to do it all, and there were some years where you're like, man, this hockey team is garbage.
Yeah, but to the game itself, it was a good game. The Flyers scored first. Kevin Hayes got a goal. It was kind of I think it deflected off a stick of the Oilers player and kind of just flubbed over the goalie. But hey, they don't ask how, they ask how many.
Precisely.
He gets his 16th of the night.
And just then, like when you score goals off your tummy in Ben's League, they don't ask how, they ask how many.
Exactly. And then the Oilers actually did score at one point, but it was called back for goalie interference, which was cool. So
they got the call right.
Yeah, they got it right, which was good. I mean, I was telling everyone near me, I was like, he's in the blue. He's in the blue, like meaning like he's in the the goal crease. So like he obviously obstructed Hart's ability to make the save. My girlfriend was probably like, why did I get into this with this guy? He's like yelling at everyone for no reason.
Claire, now you know how Brenna feels.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it was great. It was a great night. And then Evander Kane scores in the second period. No goals in the third period. We go to overtime. And this was my first time also seeing Connor McDavid live, which was awesome.
Oh, it's a treat, isn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, he's so much faster in person than he is. Like, the TV doesn't do him any justice, where, like, seeing how he moves, how fast he is, was just crazy. And, like, him and Dreisaitl, I mean, it was like magicians on the ice. So it was really cool to see them live. And then, speaking of that, McDavid does not score in the shootout. Actually kind of lost control of the puck a little bit. Didn't even really get a shot off, which was crazy. So Hart waited him out, which is the second time I've kind of seen a superstar in the league mess up in the shootout. Because I remember I was at a Flyers Maple Leafs game probably 3 or 4 years ago, and it went to a shootout, and Austin Matthews lost control of the puck in, like, the corner. So
were you at the game before COVID hit where Brad Marchand, like, forgot to pick up the puck at center ice when going into a shootout? No, but he, like, touched enough where it moved, so it counted as an attempt.
I was not there, but I did see it on TV.
I was at that game. That was wild.
Yeah, I mean, you never think you're going to see something like that, but when you do, it's like it's a little bit of like a core memory, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, Flyers...
Got to keep those core memories safe. You know, you can't let them deteriorate and fall away.
Yeah. So, but again, the Flyers...
I'm blanking on that Disney movie. That's a great Disney movie, too.
Are you missing?
What?
Inside Out.
She's a hockey player. See, it all connects. Comes back to hockey.
There you go. But like I was saying, the Flyers, actually it was funny too, it was going into a shootout and the guy next to me goes, you know, they never really win shootouts. And I thought to myself, they're going to win this one. Like, just because he said that, I was like, they're going to F around and like win the shootout. And of course they do. And it was cool. I mean, one of the few times I've seen a shootout win in the past couple years, I'd say. I mean, the Flyers have obviously all kind of always been not good in shootouts. So
Morgan Frost, pretty good in them.
And Jim Van Riemsdyk.
Good old Jim.
So
hopefully he's gone in like a month.
I was going to say he could be on his way out, but hey, I mean, it was a good night at the arena. Great time with my girlfriend, and it was a good game. So I'm glad I got to see that. And then Dave, your thoughts on the Edmonton game and the win.
I mean, it's any time you can keep the Edmonton Oilers to only scoring one goal in regulation, that should be a celebrate that feat. Because they have one of the most high-powered offenses in the entire game. While their team is flawed, they might not have the best goaltending. Their defense is questionable. But, man, is their offense high octane. And the fact that the Flyers were able to keep them at one goal, Carter Hart was phenomenal in that, and you get the win in a shootout against that team. Chalk it up. Great night had by all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fantastic. I only watched about the last half of the game because I was replaying through Halo 3. And then when I saw the game was going to overtime, I said, let me pause my Master Chiefingness and turn on the soccer game. So got to watch, you know, I watched like the first half of the game, turned it off when the Oilers actually took the lead on the goal they got
disallowed.
And then turned it back on for overtime.
So gotcha.
Took like watched in chunks, but overall watched the whole thing. A great defensive effort. Carter Hart got the job done. What more can he say? It's a nice 2-1 win over one of the better teams in the Western Conference. If you go by just pure offense.
Yeah, definitely. And then moving on to Saturday afternoon. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon, it was a 12:30 game.
Yeah, which is an interesting time.
Early start time.
The Flyers, they lose over. They end up losing in overtime to the Nashville Predators. Actually, the first period was a pretty good goalie battle. Both teams had a lot of good chances. The goalies were outstanding in the first period. I mean, they were pretty much outstanding the whole game for the most part. I will say one thing. I think the Flyers definitely had a rough defensive game because most of the time the Predators came into the zone, the Flyers would just collapse right into Carter Hart, and they would get – I mean, the Preds would just get shots off left and right. Shots were pretty much even, though, throughout the entire game with the Predators at 25 and the Flyers at 24. So, I mean, even on the scores – on the score sheet with shots on goal, but, I mean – this was also a pretty physical game, which was entertaining. I think it was the first, right before the end of the first period, Rasmus Ristolainen lays a clean hit on Philip Forsberg in the corner, takes him into the boards, but then Forsberg lands on his head, and his head bounced off the ice, which is very scary to see. I think he got knocked out for a few seconds, I want to say, but the Predators obviously took that to heart because the Flyers player, I mean, Forsberg didn't even come back to the game.
I'm pretty sure he's out right now with the concussion too.
Yeah, so things got chippy from there. Nick Delorier dropped the gloves with Tanner Jeannette. In the early stages of the second period, and then the scoring happened in the second period as well with Nino Niederreiter opening the scoring in the second period, and then Kevin Hayes tying things up with a nice goal, his 17th of the year. And then the things go to overtime, and the Flyers just kind of sputter out and lose with...
They never possessed the puck at all in overtime.
No. Matt Duchene scores with, I think it was 34 seconds left in overtime?
No, in overtime.
Oh, 34 seconds into overtime.
34 seconds into overtime.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I remember it being very quick. So
literally, they dropped the puck to start overtime. The Predators possessed it. And then regrouped, had a breakout, went up the ice and scored.
Yeah, yep, you're right. Yeah, I mean, the Flyers just didn't play with enough balls for the most part. I think, again, they kind of – honestly, I was really just kind of – it exposed kind of how And I can't really say this is a – it's not really – I don't know. I was like, damn, the Flyers just don't have the size against other teams. Because, like, Provorov at one point got sat on his ass by – I think it was Janot.
I mean, Janot's not that big of a guy, but, like, they are missing some beefiness from their lineup with McEwen being out. Like, he's a big, beefy boy that's missed. You know, really, you're just down to Risto and –
Delorier,
if you want toughness. Like they do have a lot of forwards who are big but just play soft.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't know. I guess I just kind of noticed the size difference there with the two teams, but it's just kind of, again, one that got away from the Flyers, I think, because they, like you said, they didn't possess the possession is everything in overtime as the train gets here.
Right, but, on time.
Yeah. But then, yeah, I mean, again, it's just kind of a, I don't know, it was a bummer of a loss.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You wish they could have made it more of a battle in overtime, but 3-on-3 overtime has become so coached to the point where it's all about puck possession, and the team who has the puck usually ends up winning the game, and that's just what happened. You know, the goal that Duchesne scored, yeah, you wish Carter Hart maybe could have saved, but at the end of the day, the Predators technically are a better team than the Flyers on paper, so the better team won, so... Yeah. It is what it is. You wish the Flyers maybe could have squeaked out this game and got another win, sure. But, you know, I feel like every time they get back to Hockey 500, they have to get brought back down to earth to where they're one game just below.
Mm-hmm.
It's in, or they're losing overtime. It's like this team can't ever just like, they can't ever win enough to be like, okay, now we're a winning team. And they're not losing enough to be like, okay, now we're a losing team. It's like, oh, hey, we're in the middle. Yay.
Exactly what which we is, didn't want.
Yep, which is where you and I both called it our worst case nightmare going into this year, and what they did all pretty much from 2015 to present day.
Yep. But anyway, moving on to Sunday afternoon's game against the Seattle Kraken, also in the Wells Fargo Center. I think this was just a complete dud by the Flyers from what I heard.
And another L for Felix Sandstrom because he's not an NHL-level goaltender.
Yeah, I think he's another chip to watch when it comes closer to the trade deadline.
Who in their right mind would trade for him? The dude stinks.
I'm just saying.
The dude stinks. He's not good.
I that's all I'm saying. I mean, I get
everyone's desperate for goalies, and of course, it would be typical Flyer if they get rid of him, and all of a sudden, he's the next coming of Jesus Christ in net. You know.
I mean, hey, that's how things work here in Philly, right?
But.
But yeah, I think this was pretty much a dud. I didn't get to watch it on Sunday. I was preparing for another game that didn't go very well either. But we won't speak of that, like we said. But the Flyers, they lose 4-3 against the Seattle Kraken. Seattle, I think, was up at – they were up by 2 goals?
They were up 2-1 after one. And then it was 3-2 after 2 periods. And then they made it a 4-2 game before Patrick Brown scored shorthanded to make it a 4-3 game. And that's where it stayed. The Flyers actually scored first. Owen Tippett getting his 15th of the year.
Yeah. No, I mean, from what I heard, again, it was kind of a dud. I mean, the score says otherwise, but I think the Flyers just kind of got outplayed the entire time from what I was reading on Twitter when I could, and also just what I saw from highlights. So, I mean, I think I might have had something from Charlie O'Connor on this game, but I'm not sure. Let me just double check quick on my.
I mean, Kraken only outshot the Flyers by 3 shots, 21-18. Power play, the Flyers were 1-for-2. Kraken were 0-for-1. I mean, Flyers outhit them by 7, outblocked them. 10 giveaways for the Flyers. Yikes, the Seattle's 5. I mean,
I think that was what I was looking for, the giveaways and the takeaways and the turnovers.
Oh, those turnovers. Those buttery, flaky Flyers turnovers. But, yeah, I mean, every goal that I saw on the highlight reel was, like, Seattle on transition, which is what they're going to do because they're a good – I mean, they've got Jordan Eberle. They picked up Ellie Tolvanen off of waivers from Nashville.
Yeah,
I mean – he's been lights out great for them.
Yeah.
Jaden Schwartz is still good, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one against, I think, the Kraken are a better team than the Flyers.
I mean, and Felix Sandstrom only made 16 saves on 20 shots. That's an 810 save percentage.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah.
You stink. And I know the Flyers did call up Sam Ersson and I believe Kiefer Bellows.
No, they put Bellows on waivers.
But then I thought they called him back up already.
I don't believe they did.
Okay, I could be wrong. But I know Ersson
called up I believe they called up Ollie Leixel.
Okay, Leixel's been great for the fans this year. But I know Ersson got called back up too, because the Flyers are on a nice little lengthy West Coast road trip here. And it would be nice to see some Ersson get some games, because I'll tell you what, I think he actually has an NHL future as a goalie. And Sandstrom, like I said many times now, ain't it?
I guess they did, actually. So 2 days ago, Monday, you were right. They did recall Bellows and Ersson. But I think prior to that,
They did waive him last week.
Yeah, well, because he has a two-way contract that you have to go through waivers?
Yeah, or a one-way.
Yeah, but anyway.
But sometimes on a two-way, you do have to go through waivers. The cap's weird.
Yeah. I thought, when did they call up Leixel? Unless that was... I'm trying to look through the Flyers timeline. Oh, that was 4 days ago. I'm not even sure if he played, honestly. I wasn't paying attention. I don't see anything that says he got sent back down either. So he could be with the team. They're in Seattle right now, because I was going to go over their schedule here for the next few days before we kind of move on to a couple other Flyers-related things and then around the league. But Dave, like I said, the Flyers are in Seattle right now. They play tomorrow night against the Seattle Kraken at 10 o'clock Eastern. These next four games actually will be late for us Easterners here, because the Flyers are in the Pacific Northwest as well as Western Canada. They have the Seattle Kraken tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, and then Saturday night at 10 o'clock in Vancouver against the Canucks, followed by Monday afternoon on President's Day at 4 o'clock in Calgary against the Flames. And then they have the second of a back-to-back on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock in Edmonton against the Oilers before a couple days off. And then they're back at home on Friday the 24th against the Montreal Canadiens. And by that time, we will have all of those games have happened, obviously, and we'll be on to our next Flyers Weekend review. So kind of a tough schedule here for the Flyers. I mean, the Kraken, again, the Flyers are kind of looking for revenge after Sunday's loss. Vancouver's been a mess this year, so that could be a kind of a toss-up. If I had to say...
Calgary's been not good this year either. Jacob Markstrom's been awful in that.
Yeah.
Literally, all four of these games are toss-ups. I could easily beating Seattle tomorrow night.
All four are winnable. But again, it shows which Flyers team shows up.
Especially in that back-to-back. You're probably saving Carter Hart for Edmonton, considering Edmonton's considered his hometown. Because he's from Sherwood Park, Alberta, which is closer to Edmonton than it is to Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So you think whoever the backup may be, let's hope it's Sam Ersson and not Felix Sandstrom, plays against the Calgary Flames on Monday. But then you think you're having Hart go Tuesday against the Oilers.
Yeah.
I think actually you got Hart tomorrow night and you got Hart on Saturday against Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah. But that pretty much does it for the Flyers playing coverage at this point. Obviously, again, they play tomorrow night and they go from there. But we do have a front office move that did happen on yesterday. It happened yesterday afternoon.
On yesterday.
But yesterday afternoon, it was announced from Frank Saravalli on Twitter. He announced that Dan Hilferty was hired as CEO of parent company Comcast Spectacor. The Flyers announced he will, quote, partner with Dave Scott, who will remain as chairman. Saravalli tweets, quote, in release, Hilferty calls himself a, quote, tenacious Flyers fan. He led Philly's successful bid for 2026 World Cup hosting. So, I don't really think this does anything for me, Dave. It's just a kind of a – it doesn't seem like he's taking over anything, so – What do you think?
I mean, the fact that he's quoted saying as being a tenacious hockey fan and Flyers fan, maybe he'll give just a little bit more of a damn than Dave Scott has. True. Maybe. Am I asking for a lot here to have an owner who gives a damn?
I think for Dave Scott doesn't really for our organization, it is.
I mean, I get Ed Snyder is tough shoes to fill. Oh, yeah. You're not going to fill those. But, like, him at least saying I'm a tenacious hockey fan gives me some hope. Maybe there's a chance here. Maybe.
It's like, what is it, Lloyd Christmas? You're telling me there's a chance.
Precisely.
Gotcha.
It could be a bad chance. It could be a good chance. We don't know. We're going to see how it plays out. Yeah. I got no opinion on the dude. Never heard of him until now.
I mean, I think, again, and we kind of all want it to happen. Obviously, we want Fletcher and Scott gone in a perfect world. But I think what's going to happen in that it's kind of coming, slowly coming to fruition, is that Fletcher is just going to get promoted to president of hockey ops. And then hopefully Danny Briere steps in as GM and he tells Fletcher, hey, you've kind of groomed me for this position. So you do your thing and I'll do mine. And then hopefully that means that Fletcher's hands are kind of off the roster, so to speak.
I mean, it seemed like when Paul Hoberman got promoted to president, his hands were off the roster. Yeah. So,
but again, we'll time will tell with that. But that's just, again, a front office move by the Flyers. And take it how you will, so to speak. So
there's nothing really to report on for it as of right now. It's just, hey, this happened.
Yeah, I didn't even see it. The Flyers didn't even post anything on their Twitter that I saw, so maybe, I guess,
since it's because they knew if they posted anything about Dave Scott, it just the mentions would just be.
Yeah. I mean, even the mentions for Frank were pretty getting pretty roasted. No, so
not surprised.
Hey,
they could have been as bad as the mentions about the Eagles thanking Gannon.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about it.
No. I think that is it for Flyers coverage this week.
Yeah, that's all we got in our outline.
Cool. So, again, they play the Kraken tomorrow night in Seattle, and then we go from there as they are in the Pacific Northwest / Western Canada road trip.
Won't even be able to watch the game tomorrow night because I've got a good old 10:25 beer league game. So it'll be playing hockey at the same time.
I am going to do my darndest to go be part of # Flyers After Dark.
And hey, you got off the next day. So.
Yeah, it's true. I don't have a bedtime tomorrow night. Not going to brag. So, but moving on from there, Dave, we will again do our usual Around the League segment. We have kind of a packed one this week. Kind of a backloaded program with not much going on with the Flyers. But we do have some sad news here to start off with that happened just earlier today. If you didn't know, Alex Ovechkin's father, Mikhail Ovechkin, passed away at the age of 71 earlier today. Ovechkin announced
71, that's young.
Yeah. Ovechkin himself posted on Instagram announcing the news and said, quote, "Today I lost my father. I thank everyone for the support, but please be understanding and do not disturb my family in this difficult time for us. Thank you." It was in Russian, so unless you hit the translation button, you may not have known what he was saying unless you know Russian. But it's obviously very sad. I mean, to see Ovechkin, just watching the documentary a couple weeks ago for the All-Star game, obviously his dad's been a huge part of his life throughout his entire career, obviously. And then according to the article from NHL.com, Ovechkin himself has been on leave from the Capitals since Tuesday to travel home to Moscow to see his father, who battled health issues that prevented him from traveling to North America in recent years. When Ovechkin did leave, Washington announced he would be away from the team indefinitely to attend to a family matter and the health of a loved one. The Capitals tweeted earlier today, quote, "The Washington Capitals organization is saddened to hear of the passing of our captain, Alex Ovechkin's father, Mr. Mikhail Ovechkin. Mr. Ovechkin was a true gentleman and was such a significant and consistent presence at Capitals games and practices. With a constant smile on his face, he loved interacting with our fans and expressing the gratitude for their support of his son, of whom he was incredibly proud. Our organization's thoughts are with the Ovechkin family at this difficult time." So it's just, again, very sad to see a guy like this. I mean, anyone, obviously, you see this stuff happen. It was Patrick Kane and his grandfather. I mean, obviously, Kevin Hayes and Jimmy Hayes. So it's just this stuff is, on top of being hockey players, these guys also have lives and families. And sadly, I mean, death is a part of life, but it's sad to see, and we're sending the Ovechkin family our thoughts here at 5 Minute Major.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's nothing more to say. You just keep Ovi and family in our thoughts, and nothing but well wishes, and hopefully he's able to return to the Capitals after he has done his allotted grieving, because, you know, it's different for everyone, and a loss in the family always stinks, so... Wishing nothing but the best for Ovi.
Mm-hmm. And then staying with the Capitals here, actually, this weekend on Saturday night is the NHL Stadium Series at Carter-Finley Stadium in Raleigh, North Carolina, where the Capitals will be facing the Carolina Hurricanes. This is the Hurricanes' first outdoor game. And then Carter-Finley Stadium is the home of North Carolina State's football team, which is expected to draw approximately 51,500 fans, which is, I mean, it's a great number. I think the Caps and the Canes rivalry has grown over the years, which is cool to see. So I think this should be a good matchup. Both teams actually did play each other last night, and the Hurricanes held on, quote, for a hard-fought 3-2 victory against the Caps in Washington, D.C. So a good little preview there, with each team also playing tomorrow night, before they go outside on Saturday night. So, I don't know. I think we might have missed the week where the jerseys came out for this, but I don't know. I think...
Two L's.
Yeah.
Two big, massive thumbs down.
Yes. So, but also, if you're a country fan, Jake Owen will be playing... I think he's a country music guy. Yeah.
I'm not a big country guy. So.
But yeah, so he's a country music guy. He'll be playing he's the featured performer. I guess he'll be playing during the first intermission. Gotcha. And then along with him will be the alternative rock group Lovely the Band, performing at the pregame. Which is the obviously before the game, the tailgate party. No free ads. I'm not going to say any of the brands here. So, but yeah, I mean, I've heard of both of them. I have a couple of Jake Owen songs on my Spotify playlist. But other than that, cool.
yeah, it's cool.
So, but yeah, I mean, an interesting matchup to watch on Saturday night. And then, also sticking with the Capitals, still here, they have kind of a triple topic tonight, but it was announced yesterday that ESPN, Disney Channel, and the NHL are teaming up to bring fans the, quote, NHL Big City Greens Classic, the first ever live animated NHL game telecast featuring the Washington Capitals versus the New York Rangers on March 14th at 7 o'clock.
Is this kind of the NHL's attempt to do what the NFL does by putting games on Nickelodeon?
I think I was about to say the same thing, so I think you're spot on there. So this says, according to the article from NHL.com, the alternate presentation of the Caps-Rangers game will feature live, real-time, volumetric animation of players and teams modeled after characters on Disney-branded television's Emmy Award-winning animated comedy, Big City Greens. Oh, maybe, I don't know. Working with Disney Channel and the NHL, we are producing a telecast that will reach a new and different audience and help to grow hockey fandom even more. Big City Greens has a huge following and a younger audience that we are excited to tap into, offering a fun and creative way to enjoy the game across Disney platforms. Huh. This says that the NHL Big City Greens Classic will demonstrate how we can leverage data from NHL Edge, which is the puck and player tracking system, to create entirely new fan experiences for a younger audience in collaboration with incredible partners like the Walt Disney Company, ESPN, and Beyond Sports. What a testament to have the greatest animation company of all time leverage its incomparable creativity and IP to promote and grow our game.
Right.
They expect kids to pay attention to all this?
Yeah.
This seems pretty complicated.
I'm not sure how this is going to go. This could be one big, massive disaster.
I guess we'll have to tune into this to see. I mean,
this is the only way.
Yeah, for journalism's sake. I don't think anyone
can. Again?
March 14th at 7 o'clock. Tuesday night. It's a Tuesday night. I don't know if anything can compete with the Slime Zone, though.
No, nothing.
But, hey, we'll see. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know. Is big. I guess Big City Greens is a Disney show?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't know. long are the days when we used to watch Disney Channel.
I mean, I'm watching Disney on Disney Plus, but I'm only on there for, like, The Bad Batch.
Yeah, and stuff like that. That's not even, like, an OG Disney Channel show. Like,
no, it's not.
So, it's not a
deletion of the Clone Wars.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. This will be interesting to see. Obviously, it's the first of its kind, so we'll see kind of how it goes. But moving on from there, as I try to look for our next topic of discussion, we had a contract signing. That's what we had.
Yes.
Earlier today, it was announced that Mikey Anderson signed an 8-year, $33 million contract with the LA Kings. The contract, which starts next season and runs through the 2030-2031 season, has an average annual value of $4.125 million. According to NHL.com, the 23-year-old defenseman could have been a restricted free agent after this season. He has an NHL career high of assists, points, and a plus-10 rating. 60 shots on goal, 69 nice block shots, and average ice time per game at 21 minutes and 49 seconds in 55 games, which is 2 from his NHL career high set last season. Kings GM Rob Blake said, quote, "We're excited to have a player of Mikey Anderson's caliber signed to the Kings long term. He's not only developed into a trusted shutdown player on the ice, but a well-respected individual in the room that we envision continuing to grow into our leadership role." Anderson was chosen by the Kings in the fourth round of the 2017 NHL draft, has a total of 33 points in 172 regular season games, and made his Stanley Cup playoff debut last season with 1 assist. The train is here again.
Yes, it is.
While averaging 19.49 of ice time during a 7-game loss to the Oilers in the Western Conference first round. Dave, your thoughts on Mikey Anderson? Actually, he looks like he's got good flow based off this picture, unless it's just a shadow. Nope, I think it's a shadow. So, no flow, but what do you think about his ticket?
I think it's a very nice contract. It gives the Kings lots of stability in asset management-wise. You know, only at about $4 million per season, it's a very tradable deal. And they're locking up a younger player for his prime till he turns 31 years old. Now, he's a good second pairing shutdown defenseman. He's not going to light up your world in points regards, but you know he's very smart defensively. Makes a good first pass. You know he can make the great plays in his own end, and he's a nice piece on a back end of an LA team that has kind of, you know, that they were really good, won their two cups, went through a little bit of their downward trend, and now they're on their way back up. And he's a nice piece for their future. Would you like to see maybe his offensive production go up a little bit? Sure, yes. But not every defenseman out there is going to be a barn burner scoring a whole bunch of points. Mm-hmm. So if you can get a guy that can be good defensively and get you around 20 points a year, I think you're happy. And at $4 million per season, that's a very nice deal.
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of appropriate that the train is here and it's blowing the horn because it kind of sounds like the King's goal horn.
It does.
So, hey.
Thank you, SEPTA.
Little special effects, practical special effects in the background with
yes.
The train outside my apartment. But, yeah, good ticket for a good player. It seems like he will possibly bloom into a franchise-type defenseman. Also, again, Kings-related quick here, which we have to touch on, but they retired Dustin Brown's number the other night.
Yes, they did.
So his number is now in the rafters at Crypto.com Arena. Yikes.
It should still be Staples Center.
Yeah, but congratulations to him on a great career. And also, again, he's up there forever now with the Kings.
I mean, he's one of the best American hockey players of all time, and he's the first LA King captain to win the Stanley Cup twice. So, yep. Or actually to ever win the Stanley Cup. You know, he's the first LA King captain. he was never really an elite level player, but he was a good power forward, and he was a hell of a player. You know, he could play anywhere from your first to fourth line. In his prime, he was a top six winger, always, you know, gritty, fought, physical, big goals when you need them, big hits when you needed them, especially in the playoffs. And he was a dominant player, and he's part of LA Kings history now, and for, no one will ever wear number 23 for the LA Kings ever again, and rightfully so.
Yeah. And then moving on from LA, we go back to around the league again. Obviously, we're still LA. Here. And then, actually, I just started the season of Letterkenny the other day. Fun fact.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
It's very good. But moving on, we're inching closer to the trade deadline in the NHL, which is on March 3rd. Obviously, it's now February 15th.
We're like 2 weeks out.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, February is flying by. So
it is.
But we already had our first trade, perhaps the biggest. We don't know what's going to happen closer to the deadline. But on February 9th, on Thursday, this past Thursday, February 9th, a big bomb dropped with the St. Louis Blues shipping Vlad Tarasenko to the New York Rangers in exchange for forward Sammy Blais, a former Blue.
Yes.
Defensive prospect Hunter Skinner, a conditional first-round pick in the 2023 NHL draft, and a fourth-round pick in the 2024 NHL draft. New York also received defenseman Nico Mikola. Say that five times fast. But Tarasenko said on this past Friday, quote, "The building, it's always exciting to play there." Speaking of Madison Square Garden, "It's a good team, obviously. They have a goal here to win a cup, which is very exciting. If you didn't see two as well, Tarasenko did score on his first shot as a Ranger for his first goal, which was exciting. I mean, don't really like the Rangers because they're obviously a Metro Division rival for the Flyers. So, boo, but also kind of cool when that happens to a new player on a new team. But Tarasenko, I mean, we heard it was the year when the Blues winner, they were dead in the water before they went on the run to win the cup. But you heard about pretty much the whole team getting blown up with trades and transactions and such. But it kind of seemed like that was still a thing, but it died down a little bit. But now, obviously, it's reality. And Vlad Tarasenko is a New York Ranger.
I mean, this is a great deal for the Rangers. You know, for the Blues, they remove an expiring contract that probably wasn't staying there this offseason. And Tarasenko, you know, he's actually really good friends with Panarin.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know when Panarin got brought over to the NHL by the Blackhawks, Tarasenko had been talking him up to the Blues, saying, mm-hmm. "We need to get this kid. He's going to be phenomenal. He'll be a superstar in this league." And the Blues just kind of blew him off. And of course, then Chicago got him, and look what he did, and look where he is now with the Rangers. So the fact that they're already playing on top of him, I mean, the Rangers' top line now is Zibanejad, Panarin, and Tarasenko. I mean, that's scary good. Yeah. So it's a hell of a trade for the Rangers. Probably going to end up being a rental for them. I don't think they can afford to sign Tarasenko long term. Mm-hmm. But if they go on a hell of a run, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Staying healthy might be a bit of a concern now at this point of his career, but when he is healthy, he's got a hell of a shot and he's got a hell of a hands. He's an elite sniper in this league. For St. Louis, they get some draft capital back. They get Sammy Blais, a former Blue that they know well, that they traded to, I think he was part of the Pavel Buchnevich trade.
He was, yeah.
And I know a lot of Rangers fans were upset about that. So, I mean, I guess if you think about it, you turned Pavel Buchnevich into Vladimir Tarasenko. So, really, at the end of the day, that's not terrible.
No.
But, no, the Blues, they get Sammy Blais back, who, you know, last looked like a promising player with St. Louis. He wasn't really doing it in New York from what I saw. So, I think it's a nice return. Could it have been better? Sure, but it's a rental deal. So, yeah. New York gets a nice sniper. St. Louis gets some nice pieces back. Both sides, I say, seem happy. So,
yeah. I mean, I think that was a good hockey trade, and it was also good to see the NHL getting in there on the day of the NBA trade deadline, which was absolutely insane.
It always is.
I mean, yeah, you talk about this league, but I mean, some crazy deals there, and also the drama continues with the players in that league. I mean, mainly just Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook. So it's Russell Westbrook. So getting off of hockey here, off topic, but he signed a 5-year deal with, I think it was Golden State, just about five years ago. And then every year since then has played for a different team each season.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So he's literally played, like, this is now, I forget where he got traded to. It was crazy to see all what was happening, but like, he's now on his fifth team in the last five seasons on the same contract.
Basketball's nuts.
Yeah, this league. But anyway, back to hockey. Still speaking of the trade deadline, we're starting to see at least a couple players being held out for quote-unquote trade-related reasons. Just two guys here quick, but defenseman Vladislav Gavrikov from the Columbus Blue Jackets was a healthy scratch on yesterday. let me rewind there. Defenseman Vladislav Gavrikov was a healthy scratch last night because of trade-related reasons when the Columbus Blue Jackets hosted the Jersey Devils on Tuesday at Nationwide Arena, the team said. And then quickly out of Arizona, defenseman Jacob Chychrun will be out of the Arizona Coyotes lineup for at least this week, said head coach Andre Tourney. It seems like Jacob Chychrun has been, quote-unquote, on the trade block for the last, three, four seasons at this point.
At least.
So we'll see if anything actually happens with him this year. But he seems to be the talk of the town when it comes to being traded around this time each season. So, but just two guys that are kind of on other teams' radars, and the teams that they're on now obviously don't want them to get hurt because they want to get the fullest extent of a return.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, it's a smart thing to do. And I feel like Arizona, I'm not sure what their asking price is for Chychrun, but Chychrun could potentially be, you know, he's an elite level defenseman in this league. And if the right team gets him, he could be their main franchise defenseman. You know, Arizona is not going to be good for a very, very long time, so they're having a player here that they need to get rid of. So
yeah,
it could be a nice bounty of return for the Coyotes in this Chychrun deal. But they have to play their cards right.
Yeah, definitely. But rounding out the night here for our Around the League segment, obviously with February being Black History Month, we'd like to profile when we can some cool happenings that have gone on throughout history that involve African-American and Black players or personnel from teams. But we actually had a pretty cool one this past weekend, which is, it crosses the bounds of hockey and Hollywood, mainly HBO. If you are an HBO fan, yeah, I guess you can be an HBO fan because they have great shows, obviously. But if you have been watching The Last of Us the past few weeks, this most recent episode that actually aired on Friday before that game that we won't talk about, it usually airs Sunday nights, but it aired Friday early, blah, blah, blah. You get it if you're watching the show. If you know, you know, so to speak.
Yes.
But the connection between hockey and Hollywood is a boy named, I believe it's pronounced Kayvon Woodward, K-E-I-V-O-N-N, Kayvon. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Kayvon. But actually, his nickname is Hollywood by his teammates. And by teammates, I mean he is a hockey player, which is cool. He plays for the Bowie Hockey Club under 10 team out of Maryland. And again, also starred as a character in The Last of Us on HBO this past week. Yeah, past week, weekend, whatever. But he's a 10-year-old forward on his hockey team, but he's also deaf. So he played the character of Sam. I think it was Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Yeah, Sam. But yeah, I mean, so it's just a cool. It's a cool connection. Like I said, hockey and Hollywood, to see a young boy like him being in such a big hit TV series, and then also being a good hockey player too. I mean, he's a good young hockey player. He's gotten a lot of praise from his teammates for jokingly being he likes to celebrate a lot, so he has very big goal celebrations. He plays in Maryland, so he said through ASL, I watch the NHL, mainly the Washington Capitals. He said of the experience of filming the show itself, he said it was fun. When I was there filming, I felt nervous, but I was actually auditioning, I was fine. Craig Mazin, the series co-creator with Neil Druckmann, said Kayvon performed like a seasoned pro despite being relatively new to acting. The article states his path to The Last of Us and hockey are both unique. The character he portrays in the series isn't deaf in the video game, but Mazin suggested the change to Druckmann, who wrote and co-directed the game. Mazin said, quote, I wanted to show a different way of communicating, and I'm also pretty committed to showing disabilities on screen to increase representation of people with disabilities. He also faced one problem, which there aren't many deaf black male actors between 7 and 10, 12 years old who are fluent in ASL or BSL, which is British Sign Language. So Mazin actually put it out on Twitter for the casting call, which caught the attention of Kayvon's friends and family, and then they told his mom about it, and then the chain of events kind of went on from there. So, I mean, a young and hopefully budding hockey player, and also a young and budding actor now. So we'll see if we see Kayvon on the ice, maybe in cool Instagram videos, if he's doing anything fancy with his moves or his celebrations, but also very emotional, the character at least in the show. So no spoilers, but I mean, again, this show tugs on your emotions very hard. So
yes,
but again, cool to see this being profiled, and it's cool again when hockey crosses over into big things like Hollywood and great shows like The Last of Us.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really more to say, Matt. You kind of covered it all there. I mean, what a great experience! What a great young man. And he can hopefully continue to grow in both hockey and in acting. And who knows, maybe Disney, if you're listening, find a way to get him involved in the Mighty Ducks reboot you're doing, even though I heard it's terrible.
So he did say he said doing television and movies is fine, but he still has his heart set on being a pro hockey player. So
there you go.
We could easily see him in the NHL someday.
That would be amazing. Would be amazing.
But Dave, with that being said, not The Last of Us, but that's the last of our topics here for Around the League. Good segue there to start the ending. And as usual, I will throw it over to you to wrap things up for us on this President's Day week/weekend.
Yes. As is always my weekly PSA, if you listen to our program, you must be listening to the Pod Street Bullies as well. If you're not, what are you doing? Get with the program. Check the boys out. I, for one, will be seeing good friend of the pod this weekend, Pod Street Hoags. So I'm looking forward to that, some quality bro time. But they're pumping out weekly content that's, if not better than our show, just as great. You know, love it. We're great affiliates. Hopefully some things coming between the two shows later this season at some point. So check the Pod Street Boys out if you're listening to us, obviously. But with that, Matt and I will be back next week. We'll have plenty of more Flyers hockey to talk about. We can recap the Stadium Series game from Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend. So lots and lots to discuss. Who knows? The Flyers could be on a four-game losing streak. They could be on a four-game winning streak. They could go 2-2. They could go 1-3-1. You never know. You just never know what this team's going to do. So yeah. But with that, we will be back next week. Matt, enjoy your long weekend. I know I will enjoy mine. But like I said, we'll be back next week to talk more hockey. So on that note, I will stop rambling. Good night and good hockey.